This is Dave Pueblo, and I am at the 2019 NOFA conference in Saratoga Springs. And who am I sitting with?
I'm Larry Goering, and I'm with the Department of Biological Environmental Engineering at Cornell University.
I just sat through your presentation on subsurface irrigation. Tell me a little bit, just a quick overview about what your presentation was about.
Well, my presentation was about subsurface drainage and how to go through the process of evaluating whether or not you need it, planning and implementation aspects, some of the construction aspects, cost benefits. My opening part was a little bit of a primer on soil water holding capacity and why it might be important to have subsurface drainage. There's a very good website that the United States Department of Agriculture and Natural Resource Conservation Service has. It's called Web Soil Survey. If you Google that, you can get right on there. You can find out what kind of soils you have and what the drainage status is. And if you have some of these poorly drained soils where the water table is very close to the surface and impacting your cropping and tillage operations, it gives you some information on how to plan whether this is something that might work for my soil conditions.
Now, when you're assisting farmers, do you do site visits yourself and give them an estimate of what they might need?
I have done that in the past, but I don't do that anymore. We're really geared to providing the research and the education as opposed to the actual on-site contractual services. So usually for that, I would recommend the landowner to reach out to their local soil and water district or to contractors who might be working in their area who could make some site evaluation and plans.
And in terms of the farmers who approach you for assistance, is it small farmers or large farmers or all types?
All types.
How maybe has this evolved over the last couple decades? I'm especially thinking in terms of maybe younger farmers coming around interested in more organic practices and maybe also the decline of dairy farms in the area. How have you seen these drainage issues evolve?
They've evolved a lot around the environmental concerns for drainage, where 4,000 years before BC, they started doing drainage and recognizing the importance of being able to lower the water table in the soil. But over time, as that has evolved, some folks realize that you might be draining wetland types of soils and that changing that habitat. And so there's always been a battle of should we drain this area or should we not drain this area. Back in about 1977, the federal government used to cost share putting drainage systems in. But then the wetland rules came out in the Farm Bill in 1985 that you cannot, they call it swamp buster, where you're not supposed to go in and drain certain kinds of wet soils or wetlands. So drainage was really, a lot of it went after World War II and up to the mid-70s. There was a lot of activity improving drainage on the farm and with federal cost sharing. But after that Farm Bill went in and the wetland rules came in, there was less interest in use of drainage. And then over the years, especially with some of the kinds of monocropping systems we have now with high fertility use, high manure use, there's also been some water quality issues related to drainage. And so that again has kind of limited some of the work that's been done. But now I'm beginning to see with the wet seasons that we're starting to see more and more of in the last decade that the interest in putting drains on the farms is picking up again. And hopefully if they do it, at least they can take into account the negative impacts of it too, because there's both positive and negative impacts to doing drainage.
Certainly, I know what you're talking about with increased risk of flood, but there's been also drought in this area. So are people looking for maybe the same thing that people were looking for 4,000 years ago by putting in swales, some sort of system that would try and buffer the impact of weather extremes?
I think when it comes to soil water management, usually they look at it separately, where we either need to remove water from the soil or we need to add it. And it's usually been talked about in two different venues. For the fields that are really wet, you know, we talk about the drainage, then there's other fields and times of year when fields are droughty. So we talk about irrigation. It can be done, not very easily, but it can be done in a drainage sub-irrigation composite system. But it's not suited to all areas, especially not a lot of the sloping soil conditions that we have in here in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you were talking about, I think you mentioned in your presentation, that certain types of crops where they're transplanted and they have fairly shallow root systems aren't really helped by this.
Yes, the sub-irrigation is basically a method where you're raising the water table by closing the drainage system and allowing the water table to come back up close to the surface. And so when you do that, you're bringing water up from the bottom, but you usually don't want to raise it so high that it's within inches or an inch or two of the soil surface where new transplant roots would be. And so since those transplants are also sensitive to drought, you really need some form of watering that topsoil without watering, keeping water in the whole profile.
Maybe one last subject to bring up, but this could be a big one potentially. You had talked about some of the changes over time in terms of the actual pipes that are put in, and it's, you know, gone from ceramics and metal over to a plastic kind of thing. Maybe tell me a little bit about the impact of technology, both positive and negative, that you're dealing with these days.
Good question, and it's kind of hard to answer that one. In the years before even clay tile and plastics, landowners would use large stones the size of chicken eggs and pieces of wood planks to create channels in the subsoil for draining the water out. That changed with the advent of recognizing that you could take clay tile or clay pieces of clay and form them into pipes. And so then the clay tile took over, and that probably occurred in about the mid-1800s here in the Northeast, or in the U.S., actually. In fact, one of the first tiles was put in Geneva, New York, a clay tile where John Johnston brought a piece of clay tile over from Sweden, I believe it is, and put it in his farm south of Geneva. And so that started the clay tile use in drainage. Then in the 60s, about the early 1960s, with the advent of plastics and the ability to extrude plastics, there was that shift from clay to the plastics. Some people will argue that clay is still better. It was a very durable material. It's more naturally friendly, using natural materials, clays and so on, as opposed to synthetic resins that make the plastic. But now a lot of the plastic piping material is actually made from recycled plastics. There's a blend of, they can blend recycled plastics into the plastics, so they are, the current use of plastics is kind of also helping recycle some of our waste plastics.
Do you ever see people that want to try and use older methods like tiles, and they're frustrated because they can't, or is that still a possibility?
It's not possibility, because I don't think tiles are made anymore. I think there might be one company in Ohio that's still making them, maybe one in Canada. But being able to get a hold of clay is difficult now because it's not made. The other aspect is the clay pipe was very heavy, so if you do have to transport it any long distance and handle it, there's more labor and
cost prohibitive.
Cost issues, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're just about out of time. Is there any other thing that you'd want to maybe talk to farmers about that would be helpful?
Well, I think with the advent of climate change, which is one of the things this conference is about, is looking to, if we are going to continue with this change of our climate, where we're seeing wetter seasons and more extreme precipitation events, it might be worthwhile to take a good look at your land resource and how you might have to adapt to that, and the possibility that maybe you may need some drainage to deal with the wetter climate if you want to continue to do things the way you'd like to.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.